Halloween has always been one of my favorite nights of the entire year. From the pagan origins to the more modern take of trick-or-treating, corny movies, and dressing up, I just can't get enough. One Halloween, similar to many others, my friends and I decided that we were going to go trick-or-treating. Now, admittedly, we were probably a little old, but it was our tradition, and we always had so much fun. We went from house to house getting candy and getting some looks from parents who probably also felt we were a little old. It was a largest group of people, including my current crush at the time, which made the night even more fun. The houses in this area were the ones that gave out full-size candy bars, and most people had their homes all decked out in state-of-the-art Halloween decor. As we approached one of the last houses before we were going to call it quits, I noted a particularly scary figure on the front lawn. It looked like a person waiting to jump out and scare us as we walked by. It was a tall figure, with a white mask and black covering the eyes. It was hard to tell if it was a mannequin or a person because it was so still. As I walked by, the tall figure grabbed my arm, causing me to almost crap my pants. The man got down to my face and said in a slow, soft voice through his mask, "Tag, you're it." And then ran into the backyard of the house. We all screamed, laughed, and ran to the front door for candy. Of course, we just assumed this was part of the homeowners trying to scare people who were trick-or-treating. We got our candy, and as I walked away, I turned back to the lady in the doorway and said, "That tall guy was really scary, but you might want to tell him not to grab people so hard as they walk by." The woman looked at me like I had grown a second head. I asked if she was all right, and she responded in an almost nervous voice, "You're the second young lady tonight to tell me the same story tonight. My husband's inside, and we don't have anyone set up outside to scare you kids." Now I'm officially creeped out. I ran to catch up to my friend, still thinking it was still all possibly part of a scare and the lady was just messing with me. The group of us stayed out for a little while longer. Some of us broke off from the larger group and began to walk back to my house. We decided that first we were going to walk by the house where the incident had occurred earlier in the night to see if the tall guy was set up for another scare. When we walked by it, the entire house was black, like they had ran out of candy or left for the night. From the sidewalk, I looked into the backyard, and there, the same guy with the white mask. He waved at me, and my friends told me to just ignore it, and it was obviously someone who lived there and was trying to scare us. Once we were almost to my house, I looked back and saw the guy was following us. I yelled, "Hey, what's your problem?" The entire group then turned around and tried to duck out of the way so we wouldn't see him. At this point, I think my friends could tell I was getting generally freaked out. Once we got inside, I felt more safe, and my mind was able to drift away from thinking about that guy. We all hung out for a little while, trading candy, gossiping, and watching TV. Occasionally, someone would make a comment about me being scared of the tall man, and we all laughed and just had some fun with the situation. Once my friends left for the night, I got ready for bed. I was sitting in my bedroom, taking my makeup off, and I just glanced out my window. And there in my backyard was a person. I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought I was seeing things. I went downstairs into the living room to see if I could get a better view of the figure in the yard. The tall man in the mask was now at my back door and was trying to break into the house. He was shaking the door handle and trying to open the door. I screamed for my dad, and then he saw I was standing there. He just looked up and waved at me again, just like before. My dad came barreling down the stairs and the guy didn't even move. My dad called 911 and luckily they were nearby because they showed up in 2 minutes. They arrested the guy and took him in from the backyard to the cop car. I'll never forget how he looked. They removed the expressionless mask and somehow his real face had even less of an expression. He was clean cut with short dirty blonde hair. His eyes didn't even blink and his mouth remained shut. There was no expression, almost a lifeless look. But as they put him into the cop car, he took one last look back and a creepy smile came across the lifeless face. A smile of a person who clearly didn't have a full comprehension of what was going on. I still think back to that Halloween night. And even with how bad that experience was, I am thankful it wasn't worse.
I'm a 26-year-old female. This happened about a decade ago. I still remember it like it was yesterday. A little information first. When I was 13, I was 5'10" and was often mistaken for at least 16 years old. At the time, I lived with my uncle, Jared, along with his wife, two daughters, and my grandma. Jared started his own business as a pool and spa man, including repairs and cleaning, and lifting heavy chemicals and other supplies for his business. He's very good at his job. He's one of those guys people generally like and get along with. We live in Southern California in a nice area, and many rich people live here, because the weather is usually sunny and rarely gets more than about 80 degrees Fahrenheit all year long, despite changing seasons. Naturally, he has quite a few customers that are pretty wealthy. One of these customers was a middle-aged woman. She invited my uncle to attend a huge Halloween party that she was hosting at her place. She said that he and his family were welcomed as guests. You see, my uncle was and still is to this day a huge fan of Halloween, as well as a fan of scaring people. That was something we've always had in common. So when he heard she was going to have a haunted maze in her avocado orchard, he took her up on her offer and invited me as well. Though I'm not big into parties, I didn't hesitate to say yes, since I would be working the haunted orchard with him. The party was fun and they had good catered food, but I mostly stuck to my family members, trying my best to enjoy the party. But I was much more excited about working the maze. About an hour before the maze opened up, my uncle and I went to go and get ready in our costumes. He went off to one of the vacant parts of her huge house, while I went to get ready in the guest house. My job was to be more of a distraction for the people to pass by in the maze. I was dressed in a shorter Victorian-era dress, with fake stage blood covering my body and clothes. Overall, I looked as if I'd been hung by a noose from one of the orchard trees. The plan was to have small groups going into the maze, one group at a time, and I was to be still, drawing people's sights away from Jared, who dressed as Michael Myers with an actual chainsaw, which didn't really match his character. He was right across the path from me, hidden in the shadows. He would then rev up the chainsaw, and people would run screaming while he chased them down the path. Half an hour into the job, and everything went without a hitch. But that didn't last. I heard some loud talking down the dark path, so I got back into character, amused by people's drunken screams. I could hear about 5 different voices then. They all sounded like men. Their words were slurred, so I assumed they'd been drinking. The hostess had served alcohol at the party, so I didn't think twice on it. A lot of people drank before going into the maze. I had an uneasy feeling growing in my gut, but I completely ignored it. After all, I was a naive 13-year-old girl who thought she would be safe at a private party. I remember thinking that my uncle had been nearby, so I wasn't all too worried. "Well, looky there," one of them said. I heard someone laugh and make catcalls. "She's a cutie." I remember my breath freezing in my chest, and my uneasiness returned. I was the only person visible, so I knew that they had to be talking to me. I tried to look out into the dark, but I couldn't see anyone due to a spotlight that was shining on me from my feet. It wasn't until they were about 15 feet away that I finally see the outlines of these men. "Wow, she is," another man said as they walked closer to me. I was past the point of unease and just plain scared, so much so that I completely froze in fear. Though taller than most, I was still just a kid, and all 5 of these men were about my height or taller. There was no way to fight off or run from them. The men approached me, and I remember they completely reeked of booze. Only 1 or 2 of the guys' faces were half illuminated by the spotlight. The others' faces were at an angle where they were completely black from the shadow, and I remember cursing the spotlight for shining directly in my face. "Hey there, baby," one of them said, getting closer to me. He was literally only inches from me as he and another guy reached out their hands to touch me. "How about we leave this place and go have some fun instead?" "Get away from me," I remember saying, finally finding my voice. Aw, baby, don't be like that, he dragged out. By this point, his other friends were surrounding me to where I was blocked off completely. I looked past them to my uncle's area, but I didn't see him anywhere. He must have chased that last group further down the path. I was completely alone. The man had reached toward my chest, but I slapped his hand away as hard as I could. I said, "Get away from me." My heart beat so loud and fast in my ears, I turned and tried pushing past them so I could run down the path and find Jared, but they used their bodies to make a wall and keep me from leaving. "What's the matter? Are we not good enough for you?" one of them said, taking hold of my arm. I pulled it against his grasp to try and run, and I mentally prepared for the worst. I remember taking in a deep breath to scream, hoping that someone would take it as an actual sign I was in trouble, not just another person who was being chased in the labyrinth. Then suddenly, I heard the beginning rev of a chainsaw, and all the men looked off in the darkness, where my uncle's figure as Michael Myers appeared in the reflecting glow from my spotlight. I'd never been so grateful to see a serial killer icon in my life. "What are you doing to my niece?" he demanded, rapidly stepping closer to them. I remember being so relieved, to the point of almost crying, but I stopped myself. From the look on these men's faces, this 6'4" man, who was strongly built, due to the job he worked 6 to 7 days a week, dressed in an orange prison jumpsuit, a Michael Myers mask, and a very real chainsaw in his hands, translated to someone who could easily mess them up for messing with his niece. They started to back away from me. But one guy smiled nervously and said, "Hey man, it's cool, we're just leaving." Then he turned to me, and he said with this eerie, disturbing smile, "We'll see you later, babe." His hand brushed lightly over my stomach. I froze again, chills running up and down my spine. The man then ran off down the path, my uncle cussing at them and threatening to call the cops as they scurried off even faster. He would have run after them, probably would have done something drastic too, if I hadn't run over into his arms and began to cry. I was shaking violently as the adrenaline wore off. He hugged me, then pulled out his cell phone to call my grandma. She soon arrived, and all three of us went to go and find the hostess to tell her what happened. Sadly, I don't think she was able to do anything, due to me only being able to give vague descriptions of the men, as they were mostly in shadow. And if she did, and I certainly didn't hear anything about it. Even to this day, I can't help but think what could have happened to me that night if Jared hadn't shown up when he did. There's been a couple of times where the lady has thrown more Halloween parties. I still go and work for the Haunted Maze, but I'm never in direct view anymore. I will actively partake in scaring the people. I've yet to be harassed like that ever again while working there, especially since I found out my true scare tactic, crawling like a fast-moving grudge towards people. I have three pieces of advice to anyone who works in a haunted attraction of sorts. 1. Just because you work there doesn't mean people won't start trouble with you, even during a private event. 2. Always be close to another worker, just in case something happens. And 3. Always be aware of your surroundings. Just because you're the one doing the scaring doesn't mean you won't be the one to have experienced traumatic events by the end of the night. The Treehouse, from Dark Rider 88. Halloween was always my favorite holiday growing up. Dressing up, eating candy, pulling pranks. What's not to love? But ever since that one Halloween night when I was 12 years old, I've never looked at October 31st the same way again. I grew up in a quiet suburb of Denver full of families and kids my age. My parents had moved there when I was young, because it seemed like such a safe, friendly neighborhood. And it was, for the most part. But maybe nowhere is totally safe from the darker side of things. Anyway, Halloween was a big deal in our community. Everyone would decorate their houses, and kids would spend weeks picking out costumes and planning trick-or-treat routes to hit the best candy spots. My friends and I loved sorting through our halls after a long night knocking on doors. I had two best friends who lived on my block, Josh and Tyler. One year when we were 12, On Halloween afternoon, we hung out in the treehouse in my backyard, planning out our costumes and strategies for that night. We were going to go as the Ghostbusters crew, complete with homemade proton packs my dad helped us build. We could barely contain our excitement as we helped each other with our costumes before heading out around dusk. It was the perfect night, just chilly enough to warrant a jacket, clear skies, and a bright moon. Josh, Tyler, and I set out with our parents trailing behind to supervise. We made our way up and down the neighborhood streets, ringing doorbells and yelling the usual trick or treat at each house. Things were going great. Our bags were loaded up with candy in no time. After a couple hours, we were ready to call it quits. Josh and Tyler came back to my house so we could go through our halls together. We dumped out all the goods on the floor of the treehouse and started sorting it into piles. Chocolate, fruity candy, and salty snacks. We were deep in trading negotiations when Tyler said he had to pee. The restrooms were all the way inside, so he said he'd just duck behind a tree at the back of the yard. Josh and I went back to swapping candy as we waited. A couple minutes passed, and Tyler still wasn't back. Josh and I joked that maybe he fell in, but when it had been over 5 minutes, we started to get worried. The tree Tyler went behind was only like 20 feet from the treehouse. There's no way using the bathroom would take this long. Josh and I climbed down from the treehouse and slowly walked toward where we last saw Tyler head. As we made our way across the lawn, the wind picked up, scattering leaves at our feet. The moon above was obscured by clouds passing in front of it. We were halfway to the tree when a blood-curdling scream pierced the night. It sounded like Tyler, but twisted and raw in a way I'd never heard before. Josh and I froze, staring wide-eyed at each other. Then we heard it again, that awful guttural scream coming from the dark shape of the tree. We ran inside, yelling for our parents. My dad and Josh's mom came sprinting out. We were crying, trying to explain what we heard. The adults searched the backyard with flashlights, but found nothing. No sign of Tyler or whatever made that horrifying sound. Josh's mom ran to Tyler's house, while my dad called 911. The police showed up, but also found no trace of him. Needless to say, trick-or-treating was over for the night. Josh's mom stayed with us as we all anxiously awaited news. Around midnight, a knock finally came at the door. It was Tyler, escorted by a police officer. He looked completely normal, not scared or hurt at all. When we asked what happened, he seemed confused. Tyler said he just went to pee behind the tree and came right back, but we weren't in the treehouse anymore. He assumed we went inside without him. Of course, we were incredulous. There's no way Tyler could have made it back to the treehouse without us seeing him in that tiny backyard. And we definitely heard those screams that sounded just like him. Tyler insisted he never screamed and that he just took a quick pee break. Our parents were disturbed and relieved at the same time. We were all sufficiently freaked out, so Tyler just went home after that. I slept with the covers over my head that night, listening for any screams from outside my window, but none came. The next day, things felt relatively back to normal. We still had fun trading candy and telling ghost stories like any other post-Halloween. But there was an unspoken unease whenever we made eye contact. Each of us knew what we heard and that it didn't come from our friend. Tyler moved away the next year, and Josh and I drifted apart in high school. But we've never spoken about that night again. I haven't been trick-or-treating since, even now in my 20s. I get anxious as soon as the sun starts going down on Halloween. These days, shadows seem to move in a way they shouldn't, carrying whispers of the unexplained. Whatever terrifying presence visited my backyard that night, I don't intend to encounter it ever again. This story took place back in 2016, during the clown craze that was going on. My local church has a Halloween-themed carnival every year, and my friends and I decided it would be fun to help out with setting up the carnival and helping run the games. I met up with my friends A and C after school the day of the festivities, because where it was being held was within walking distance of our high school. On our way there, we noticed a man in a clown costume standing right near one of the houses, which was next to the high school. I was already nervous of clowns to begin with, so when I saw him, I instantly became paranoid. But I brushed it off. It was Halloween after all, and it was probably just someone dressed up for trick-or-treating, even though it was a bit early, at 3 p.m. We continued walking on down to the clearing where the carnival was being held. We helped things get set up and got into our costumes. Before long, we were having a great time. At about 7 p.m., there weren't that many people left showing up, so we took off walking around the downtown area, more specifically one of the nearby streets. They go all out for Halloween here, and A really wanted to see the decorations. C and I agreed, so off we went. There were skeletons and headstone decorations and tall inflatables as far as the eye could see. We were mesmerized by it all. It took us a minute to notice the same clown guy from earlier standing near one of the headstones. His costume had fiery orange hair, and the makeup on the mask was funny, as if he just painted over the makeup that was already on it. His clothing was black and white striped, with a huge black and white polka dot neck collar. I was creeped out at that point, but A and C thought it would be marvelous to taunt him and make fun of his costume. I was like, guys, you shouldn't do that. Let's just go. After throwing a few more insults, they gave in to my pleas. We turned and walked back in the direction we came from, away from that clown. Now, there's a store at the end of the street, and a little further down is a donut shop. But in between the two was a long path that went right through a wooded area that had little to no lighting at all and was very creepy at night. C spoke up, saying, "Why don't we walk this way? There's no cars, so we'd be less likely to get run over." "As if that would happen," A said. We started walking carefully down the path, beginning to talk about the typical stuff teenage girls talk about. Boys we liked, people we couldn't stand, so on and so forth. We heard footsteps fast approaching behind us. We turned around. There was the same clown we'd already seen twice that night. But instead of just standing still and staring at us, he was now running at a full sprint towards us. He was waving what looked to be a butcher knife above his head, like some sort of maniac. We took off as fast as we could, running toward where the carnival was being held. He was catching up quick, though, when, by the grace of God, he must have tripped over a fallen branch. Because when we turned around, he was slowly getting back up off the ground. We did not waste the opportunity. We took off, finally making it back to the carnival. When we got there, we explained to our pastor what happened. He ended up calling the police. Eventually, an officer showed up, taking our statements and searching the nearby area. He found nothing, save for the knife the clown had laid in the dirt where he'd fallen. Our pastor took us home, as we were too scared to be out anymore. This may not be the scariest story, but it's definitely one that has stuck with me for years. I'm 22 now, and to this day, I'm absolutely terrified of clowns.